Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Joining me right now, a person who knows the inside of Washington and liked it so much he left. He does not want to know, tell us exactly where he is, but I know the vicinity and I know he's happy. He is Tucker Carlson, author of The Long Slide, 30 Years in American Journalism, just came out a couple of days ago. And we're for one of the first on his list. Tucker, welcome back.
You are the best introducer of guests in the world.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
But you know what, Tucker? My problem is once the interview starts, I really don't know where to go. You know what struck me? A couple of things struck me. Allison, our fantastic producer here.
Oh, she's the best. I can't believe Allison. How long has she been your producer?
Allison, how long have you been doing this?
A very long time.
Right. She's old enough to have three children.
This is amazing. That's amazing.
You gotta wonder, I must be paying her so much. How much am I paying you, Allison?
That's not what I heard, but okay.
So she pointed this out right away. She said, go to this page. It's your acknowledgement. I'd like to acknowledge Jonathan Karp of Simon & Schuster, whose descent from open-minded book editor to cartoonish corporate censor mirrors the decline of America itself. It's been a sad education watching it happen. And he still published the book?
Well, I don't think they had they felt they didn't have a choice. I mean, if they canceled my book for writing about how they canceled somebody else's book, I guess they calculated that would be a bigger PR disaster than allowing my book to be published. But trust me, they didn't want to publish it. And I didn't want to publish with them because I so deeply disapproved. But I was under contract and, for a book with Simon & Schuster, when they shut down Josh Hawley because he cast a vote that annoyed the Democratic Party. And then they paid off the Biden administration by sending his son, millions of dollars for a book nobody read. I mean, the whole thing was so disgusting that I felt implicated in it because I was taking money from Simon & Schuster. And I thought, I don't know, I have a moral obligation to say something about this. So I did.
That's pretty brave, as usual. So Tucker, this is a trip to a memory lane for you. With magazine stories, it brought you back to the time in America, not only the time in interviews that you did and articles you wrote, but what America was going through. What perspective do you have on today by going back to the years in which you worked? Now you're in your 50s. You've been doing this since your 20s. What does it tell? What perspective did you gather from collecting all your past work?
Well, I mean, it was just bewildering. I entered journalism 30 years ago this week, actually, weirdly. The Soviet Union had just collapsed like 5 days before. And I had, I'd grown up in journalism. My dad was a journalist. And I thought, I thought it was a very honorable thing to do. So, I mean, a couple of the big changes, journalism is not an honorable profession. American journalism has collapsed. The people practicing it are contemptible, disgusting. I would never have dinner with them. That's a huge change. The country is completely divided in a way that it never was. Going back through these pieces, I was shocked by the number of liberals and Democratic office holders who I really liked and had, I didn't agree with them. I've never been a liberal. I've never supported the Democratic Party, but I had a million friends who were liberal and it didn't divide us. It wasn't the most important thing, and now it is. I mean, I couldn't have dinner with the people I ate dinner with 20 years ago. And a lot of the pieces in the book were published in the New York Times and Esquire and GQ and places that, would never publish a story by me ever now. But it didn't seem weird then. I mean, it just wasn't as partisan and polarized a country, not even close. So that was really a shock for me.
Couple of things. So I have an interesting perspective here because I've been at Fox now over 20 years. And I know in the beginning,
wow,
I would tell people I'm on Fox. And even though Fox was always popular, there's a lot of people that's just not interested in the news. A lot of my friends are athletes and follow sports. And they're like, oh, Brian, how was work? And just to keep passing the time. Now I can't go anywhere without everyone thinking they know everything about everything, or at the very least have an opinion. So how have you picked up that change?
I mean, it was such a profound change that I had to leave the city that I lived in for 35 years, which was Washington. We came to Washington when I was in high school, My dad left journalism, went to work for the Reagan administration, for the federal government, was there a long time. And we lived in a very nonpartisan world. I mean, it was partisan by definition, but I mean, we lived in Georgetown, you know, right next to a left-wing senator, Democratic senator, who had gone weirdly to the same high school I went to. There, I never felt, you know, like yelling at him on the street, or it was just normal. You know, you knew people who disagreed with you because it wasn't an entirely politicized country. You don't want a country where, you know, the outcome of elections determines everything. That's really scary. First of all, it gives way too much power to politicians. You know, you want a country where the big decisions have nothing to do with politics. You know, who do you marry? How do you raise your kids? What do you do for work? Where do you go to church? How's your team doing? Things like that. But if you live in a country where who you vote for defines you, you know, that is by definition an angry place. And I don't know how we walk back from that, but I agree with you. You get being in our 50s, it's kind of sad because you have to get up in the middle of the night to take a leak. But the upside of it is you remember what it used to be. And so you have a little bit more perspective than, say, our kids do. They think it was always this way. It was not always this way. That's not true.
Couple of things. I do have a different perspective on that. If you sleep so little, you don't have to get up in the middle of the night. So 4 hours. I don't find myself springing to the bathroom and then going back to bed. Once I'm up, it's into the shower. So I'll keep you up to date on how that's going. So either I'm going to get more sleep or my prostate's going to get worse.
By the way, your listeners, I know that they know what you're saying is true, but I've seen it, so let me just verify what you're saying is true. No one has ever gotten you are like a longitudinal experiment on sleep deprivation torture, but you're still, I don't know how you're still alive. What's your secret?
Right. Are you disappointed?
I'm just impressed. We've talked about it so many times. My producer's like, you know, kill me. It's on. It's 11 o'clock. Like, he has to get up in 3 hours to host the morning show. For 3 hours, then do 3 hours of radio, and then he's like writing another book and doing documentaries. And one of my producers, I've said 100 times, like, how does Kilmeade do that? One of my producers looked me right in the face and goes, beet juice. That stuff works, man. The super beet stuff, clearly.
Super beets. You're right. They're still a sponsor.
Are you still drinking that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have super beets. They also have super beet chews. So that definitely helps. You know, I don't need a lot. I don't need a lot of sleep. Plus, I'm always under the impression this job's going to end tomorrow, and you know
I know the feeling,
right? And yeah. And you know it. Like, as talented as you are, you've had to move jobs, and with all the skills
so
that you've
funny.
Had.
Yeah, it's totally true. I mean, I grew up in La Jolla, California, and Georgetown in a, you know, affluent family or whatever. But I have a very much a working man's mentality about work. I don't know where it came from, probably from my dad. But, like, yeah, I always think I'm going to get fired. I always think I should work as hard as I can because, like, it's going to be over soon. You know, I mean, I don't know where. Anyway, yes, I have the exact same attitude. I never turned down work ever.
So in these stories that you're writing about other people, you move out of the way and you tell the story. And I believe, in my humble opinion, that's the reason why this book works and why you work as a host is because you're willing to let somebody else be the story. I think so many times host thinks it's about them, and you had no problem moving over and letting someone shine in a segment. And that's one thing that comes across on your show. It's like, hey, this is what I think. Now this is what they think, and you'll let them finish. Was that intentional or is that instinct?
That is a conscious effort not to become a talk show host. You know, they're the worst people in America. They're so insecure and boorish. They never shut up about themselves. And it just comes with the job. I mean, you've been doing it for decades. You know, after a while, you can't stop talking. You're always on transmit and never on receive. And so I just really try every morning to remind myself, shut up once in a while. Listen to other people. There are other people in the world. It's not just about you. Like, right. You become a narcissist over time unless you really fight against it. And by the way, with age, you become a narcissist. You know, old people only talk about themselves, and I just don't want to be that person. I'm sure I'll become that person anyway, but I really want to let other people talk just for the sake of my own soul, you know?
How much, in retrospect, in putting this book together, do you appreciate the wide swath of experiences and travel you've done? It allows your opinions to feel more natural and organic because you could do it from human experience. Right. You're not reading somebody else to find out how you feel. Well, you were in Ghana. You know, you were in Europe. You were in Pakistan. You travel these places. So when you come back and you react, you go, well, this is what I think. And it's not where You have to depend on another source. How much did your firsthand experience make you better on Tucker Carlson Tonight, Tucker Carlson Today, your Fox Nation series, everything? Tucker Carlson Originals?
Well, I think a lot better. I mean, I think it's really important to go see stuff. That's not why I did it, though. I didn't get into, you know, I didn't do stories or get, you know, we just got back from Hungary this week, and I really have done everything in my life purely because I want an interesting life. I didn't go into journalism to become powerful. I never thought I would make any money. I have. I'm really grateful for that. But that was certainly not what I expected at all. I didn't go in to influence policy or to, you know, if I would have run for office if I wanted that. I only went in because I wanted to see interesting stuff. And at the end, to have, you know, an interesting life. That's honestly what I wanted. It's what my dad had. And I remember as a kid, my father was such an interesting person, is such an interesting person. Just seen everything, been everywhere, known everybody, seen all this drama. And I remember as a kid, I was like, oh, I want that. You know, I never thought I want to be rich. I always thought I want to be the kind of person who's got something interesting to say at dinner. And so, yeah, that's why I did it. But it's had a, you know, a hugely helpful effect on day-to-day journalism, because you need to get the hell out of your house once in a while, you know?
Yeah, and I think that, do you feel as though, in a way, the success you've had has hurt that ability to do it in the climate that we're in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the sad part. I mean, the other, you know, I'm not a magazine writer anymore. I love my job. I'm so grateful for it. But I really miss just getting on a plane and going somewhere and listening to people for a week, seeing new stuff. And, you know, the problem is, you know, the downside, everyone wants to be rich and famous. Making more money is a good thing. Not being in debt, not having to worry about your credit cards, that's a really good thing. But being famous, man, there's no upside to that at all. I've never seen an upside to it. I don't know why anyone would want to be famous. It makes, you know, it doesn't make you feel good about yourself. It doesn't make you more secure. And it certainly eliminates your ability to go anywhere and to be inconspicuous and to listen. I mean, now I'm whining, and I don't mean to whine, but that is the one thing I regret about my life, is I can't just go to an event and stand there and listen, because I loved that.
Tucker, what I'm doing is I'm willing to use my influence, because I am on air, I am a talk show host, and I do want to be famous. I'm going to use that influence to get you back on Fox and Friends Weekend, make you less famous, and get you on cooking segments and do obstacle courses. Would you like that?
No, I would, except the axe throwing is just too dangerous. You know, on Fox and Friends Weekend, they'll literally take unsheathed axes and throw them at people, and it doesn't always work out, you know?
Right. Once in a while, you have to ignore your producer when he says, turn around and throw the axe, and Pete Hegg said didn't. So he tossed it.
I don't have the insurance umbrella necessary for that. Sorry.
I just think about it, to have a perspective and paging through your book of what you've been through, and the next thing you know, you're asked to do all these crazy things on Fox and Friends Weekend, and you must be like, what's going on with me? How did I end up here?
I've always had a high tolerance for weirdness, though, so I can kind of turn off whatever part of your brain is asking questions like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? And just roll with it. I mean, well, it was super fun.
Yeah, and I know you love your streaming shows and the long-form interviews, too. So go check out his Fox Nation series. It's I cannot believe the volume of work that's there. The volume of work you did is on the long slide, 30 years in American journalism. Pick it up. You get a real perspective, especially if you're coming out of school in your 20s and you want to have an understanding of what you're about to do. Travel. Experience the world. Talk to people. Listen more. That's some of the takeaways from Tucker's new book and kind of a cool cartoonish character leaning on a lot of magazines on the cover. Tucker, thanks so much. Good luck tonight at 8.
I appreciate it, Brian. See you, man.
Go get him.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.